But looking at the thought here, of course, the Apostle Paul gives us great instruction, great example on seeking the Lord. And we see in verse 8, he makes a statement here. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." And so we see the Apostle Paul, he made a decision about the things of his life that he would count it all lost that he might know more about God. And that was my thinking as I thought about reading the Word of God and studying and in preparation. He says, and he said, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things." And again, the word "suffered" in this application is an old English word that means allowed. So Paul allowed the loss of all things. And he says, "And do count them but dung that I may win Christ." And he says, "And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness." That's a great way to be found in God, not having your own righteousness. Because our righteousness, as the Bible says in Isaiah, are as filthy rags, is it which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then Paul makes a statement again about the knowledge that he was pursuing, about what he was actually looking for from God. And he already mentioned to us, in fact, if you look at the preceding verses, it talks about his accomplishments in the flesh and the things that an earthly human being, as a man, that he might have confidence in. But something happens to him here, and he says, and he comes to the bold statement, and the understanding about all of these decisions, what he's allowed the loss for, is for this particular purpose. And verse 10 says, "that I may know him." You know, the thing about God is that that makes him rather unique is that his knowledge is inexhaustible. You can never know enough about God, and you can never know too much about God. And Paul says, everything is by the wayside. It's but dung, manure, whatever you want to call it. He says, "that I may know him." But then he makes another statement here. It's not just to know him, but he wanted to know something about him, which he says, "and the power of his resurrection." And he says, everything that I've done in this life, it's just dung, it means nothing, that I might know Christ and understand something that people still don't understand, the power of his resurrection. The magnitude of God in the flesh laying his life down for a sinful man, telling it years in advance, telling how long he would be dead, and how he would raise up, and he did exactly that. And then it says something here, and this was the thought that the Lord really impressed upon me, that as far as for me personally, and as far and I think about Christianity in general, a statement that I've been making very often regarding the verse in the Bible, which the Bible says that take up our cross daily and follow him. And it's very easy to do the things about the Christian life that are good for, that work out good for us, that are positive for us. But when it comes to doing those things that allow us to have to experience suffering or shame or possibly even a torture, we don't really in North America, but we do know in other countries around the world. Yodi was testifying about her country just on a Wednesday night of how people in her country being jailed for being Christian. And even in name, you know, it might even be a faithful Christian, but basically being a non-Muslim, people being jailed over there. But Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And he said, now this is someone that truly loves God. You know, one of the things I learned through the years, you know, like I said, in December I'll be married 21 years, and I've worked different jobs, and there were different times when the children were small that sometimes I'm reaching for my glasses. The habits you have, you know. And sometimes children, the blessing that they are, can be a little bit difficult to manage. You know, and since we have six of them, we walked through a little bit of that. And there were different times with different jobs that my wife would call me, just one of the kids or just really giving her a hard time. And sometimes she would put the phone up because she needed me to give some instruction to the kids that they would take her seriously. And there were certain times I didn't really understand the magnitude, how difficult that was. And because there were times I was just in my mind as an insensitive person at that time, I thought, well, why don't you just handle that, you know? But then through some different situations, I never forget, my wife threw her back out for about, it was a week or 2 weeks, and I took that time off work to help take care of the kids because she just couldn't do it, you know. And all of a sudden, those 2 weeks, I understood the fellowship of her sufferings, you know. I understood the difficulty that she was facing. And one thing I did understand was a tremendous amount of spiritual warfare that takes place when between parents and children. Because God is, those are the Lord's heritage. And Satan wants that heritage. And so it's a spiritual battle when you have children that they're cute and they're cuddly, they're blessing, all these things, but at the same time, Satan desires to have them. And you have to understand that going into that. And then after that experience, when she would call, instead of just kind of listening, trying to get finished with the phone call so I could get back to work, I would like, well, tell me what's happening. Tell me what's going on. Because I wanted to know. I listened differently. And I wanted the knowledge, I wanted the information, because I had fellowship with her sufferings. And now I want to be a part of that, of the resolution. I want to be involved in taking care of and helping take care of the children that God had given us, not just given to her. And Paul makes a great revelation here. I think it'll help all of us. And he says he didn't just want to know him. Because, you know, Christianity is kind of can be neat as far as information. Through the years, people love information about God. People love information about religion. And people love talking about religion. And it's great that we are excited about information about God and knowing him. But information in and of itself can be powerless. But then Paul goes a step further, not just knowing him, but the power of the resurrection. And thank God for the power of the resurrection. I'm glad to know that since 1993, God resurrected this person that was dead in trespasses and sins. And saved me from myself and saved me from an eternity separated from God. Thank God for the power of the resurrection. And every time somebody else comes to Christ, it's just exciting to me. It's like a child being born all over again. I think, thank God for the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we were at the bus stop this morning. I gave a young man a tract, and I was thinking about the power of the resurrection when I gave him a gospel tract, thinking about this could be the day. And at any given moment, someone can be saved and born again. And the powerful things of the Christian life, hey, they're exciting. Hey, I love hearing about it. Jesus speaking and saying, Lazarus, come forth. I like that. Because that's my Savior doing what he's good at, the supernatural. I like when in Mark chapter 9, when the father had the son that was demon-possessed and he cried out, said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And we find out that the power of Jesus Christ can even help a person weaken the faith, and supernatural things can be accomplished by even people weaken the faith, calling upon God. I mean, that's the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I like hearing about different things. When it was Elijah, I believe it was, and the young man was working with an axe, and the axe had fell into the water. Elijah cut a stick off, and he threw it in the water, and all of a sudden the Bible says, and the iron did swim. I mean, I just love the sound of that. Amen. I mean, man, throwing a stick an iron axe head coming up from the water to meet the stick that the man of God threw out there. That's the powerful thing about Jesus Christ. Those are exciting. And who wouldn't want to serve God that's powerful and mighty like that? But that's not where we struggle. We don't struggle in the knowledge of him many times. And we think, wow, that's great, God did that. And when we experience the power of God flowing through us, doing things that in and of ourselves we know we can never do. But the sufferings. And then he makes a statement, but going through the fellowship of sufferings. You've heard me say this before. I have good friends that are minister in Canada and in different parts, and they always tell me that I'm glad that you're in Toronto, as if there's something wrong with Toronto, because people are afraid of cities many times, you know. And because there's an element or a stigma attached to cities, there's an element in this particular neighborhood of different trafficking and activity that you might not find in the suburbs, but honestly, it's in the suburbs. They just hide it a little bit differently. And everything that's downtown is everywhere else is just a little bit more condensed. And what they're saying is that I'm glad you're in that situation, but I could never be there. And they don't really want to be there. And part of that is because God didn't really call them to here, call them to this part of the city, as he's called me here, and I'm thankful that he did. But when it comes to the things, you know, and that's really where we find out, that's what true Christianity is expressed is in the fellowship of sufferings. When people get married, no problem with the honeymoon. I mean, that's great. That's wonderful. No pardon, but it's that part of the marriage vow that says, for better or for worse. And that sounds good. You know, when you say those vows, you're like, that better, you're thinking the better, you know? Because you're thinking, oh man, she's gorgeous. She loves me, and vice versa, he's handsome, he's all these different things, and he loves me, and you're thinking, for better. And for better or for worse. the worst is going to work. You kind of really hear that, you know? But the reality is, when the marriage really develops, is when it's worse. Because that's when you find out where the love is. And it's true in any relationship. And so it's the fellowship of sufferings that make the difference. And what keeps people strong is in Christianity, is finding out in the fellowship of the suffering with Christ that it really is enough simply to have Christ. And it's amazing. I thank the Lord for different things that I've been allowed to suffer through and to walk through, because I found out that there's something in the midst of suffering that nobody in this world can give you. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. I mean, it can be chaos in your life and everybody else is worried for you, and the inside is like, it's okay. I've got Christ. I mean, y'all can worry if you want to, but I'm okay about it, amen. And thank God for that. But that's because of sometimes, by the grace of God, I've been allowed to suffer doing things as a Christian that I hadn't before. Now, and the key thought here, the last thought, and what we're going to do probably the next few services is talk about this part of the verse here. So really, we just do an introduction. Lord, just like I said, I really didn't feel like I had everything I'm supposed to have today, but God said just deliver what's here. So, being made conformable unto his death. So, the motive of Paul wanting to gain more knowledge of Christ, he said, I want to know him. And he said, I just don't want to know him. I also want to know the power of his resurrection. And not just the resurrection, because the resurrection is the good news. He said, I want to know Christ so intimately, I honestly and I sincerely want to know what it's like to suffer with him. I want to experience the fellowship of his sufferings. And then, for the end result, that my life will be conformed, that means shaped, unto his death. He said, I want my life to be so shaped that when God delivers me his will, because remember Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, I want my life to be so shaped and so formed that when it's my time to go to the cross, and when it's my time to live for Christ for the sake of other people and for the sake of the glory of God, that although it may cause me shame or mocking or scourging, whatever it may be, and people may talk about me, talk against me, I want to be able to stand boldly like Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus before Pilate, and he said, answers thou me nothing? He said, know ye not that I have power to release thee? And Jesus, he didn't have a reason to answer back. He was so quiet about it, you know, because he knew exactly who he was. He knew his purpose. He knew his plan. So there's no reason to speak up. No reason to be agitated. He was so secure in what God had him to do. He could rest even though everyone was against him. Paul said, I want to be conformed like that. I want to be conformed to the purpose of God. When the Bible even says that his own countrymen, own kinsmen, didn't even understand him, that he could still stay focused on the cross. And still willingly, lovingly, and the last words out of his mouth, some of the last words would be, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even at the point of being totally, completely taken advantage of, he has love in his heart. Paul said, that's what I want. I want to be conformed. I want to be shaped. I want to be made to the image of his death. And as you think about the death of Christ, that he was the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. From eternity past, he'd been with the Father. Yet in his death, to everyone who looked on his life at his death, there are probably the people would have said, oh, what a waste. This nice man that healed all these people, what a waste. What a way to die. But Paul would say, what a way to die. He said, man, what a way to die. And to be so consumed with the glory of the Father and so consumed with the needs of a world that he loved that he could walk those steps to the cross boldly, confidently. You know, it's great when you study the life of Jesus, you know. Because my male type instinct, see, I like to think about Jesus walking all strong and being, you know, kind of doing some kind of macho getting there, you know. But no, man, he didn't have to have anything like that. You know, he just went. You don't see that as you study him. You see him just resolved. You see him speaking softly. And you see, and yet when he speaks softly, man, it just dissipated crowds of people. That's the reality, the power, the Word of God. And that's the magnitude of who he was. Because see, there's still part of me that I'm trying to get conformed to the image of his death, that even though I want Christ to have all the glory, there's part of my flesh that, like, again, wants to show some earthly strength, as if maybe I did a little bit of something worthy of some type of recognition. But see, that's not Christian. And that's what God wants to get out of me. And that's what needs to die. And that's why we need to study, because we all need to study. We need to be conformed to the image of his death. And Paul, as he cried out, he said, I may know him. Because I was praying as we started this 90-day thing. And like I said, I got so many different things, trying to write a book and all kind of other crazy stuff. Well, give me a vision of what this particular Bible reading is going to be for. And then I thought of being conformed to the image, being made conformable unto his death. The key word here, being made. So right in advance, recognize you don't have the power to do it. But God can make you in what he wants to make. We heard the testimony from reading Isaiah, from Yoda, that God can make us, mold us. God can do with us what he wants to do with us. And I tell you, and then he says in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And just, you know, again, referring back to the power of the resurrection of Christ, and that those that die in Christ, it's not over for them. They live again. And thank God for that fact, you know. And so I think you take the time to meditate over this passage, and what we're going to do in, like I said, next few services, we're going to talk about being made conformable unto his death. Because, you know, what we need is Christianity to be more than just a name attached to people that do good deeds. We need a Christianity that really reflects the Christ that is in the Bible. Because that's where the power is. And that's, you know, because think about it. Who today really wants to go to a cross and die for a bunch of people that don't appreciate them and disrespect them and mock them, discourage them? Nobody wants to do that. But Jesus knew that his life was the key to the life of other people. I've never had surgery in my life, you know, by the grace of God. But you know what? If one of my children needed a kidney or something, I probably would consider surgery, you know. It's not my first choice. If I knew that their life would make a difference, I'm probably willing to do that. But you know how much better? The reason, you know, I preach the gospel? Because when God saved me in 1993, I knew that the Word of God could transform the lives of anybody. And when I'm right with God, nothing else matters but that. Because the vision is on God and on people and the power of a life surrendered unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing. You know, Satan is always trying to distract you. I'll tell you, I've had so many different things these past few days just trying to prepare for this. Car breaking down, glasses breaking. I mean, I was coming back from working on the car, trying to fix it in a Walmart parking lot the other day. And I was just walking, and I walked straight into a tree limb. You know, somebody almost knocked me to the ground. You know, and I thought, I jammed my neck, and I thought, praise the Lord. You know, it must have been pretty bad. These girls were looking at me and said, are you okay? You know, I said, I think so. I said, my pride has hurt worse than my head is, you know. But just a barrage of other things going on. And I thought, praise the Lord. Because, you know, and thank God again for preaching. Because, you know, God just put it all in perspective. Because if you look just back over in chapter 2 of Philippians, see, those things are just mild nothingness. Because notice this guy Epaphroditus, at verse 30, Philippians chapter 2, he says, but for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. And I thought to myself, you know, these things, they're just temporal. They have nothing to do with the work of Christ. I do use my vehicle to serve Christ and do things, but I'm just saying, but for it wasn't like I was out preaching that particular moment and someone punched me in the head or something like that. This man was commended. He was weary because for the work of Christ. And his response even to that was not regarding his life. So God said, don't regard your life. Just roll on, man. So it just put everything in perspective, you know. And so I just went to talk to security to make sure they weren't going to tow my vehicle away. But God's good. And all those things, you know, these are little distractions toward, because Satan is trying to hinder me for what I'm trying to present to you right now, the knowledge of him. Trying to distract me from focusing on the knowledge of him and the power of his resurrection. Because as far as I understand, I don't believe there'll be any cars in heaven anyway. As far as I understand, even if there are, we won't need them. I mean, if they do, they'll work all the time because everything will be perfect. So why be sidetracked with different things in your life and what battles your life? There are people that come to church every day with good intentions of pleasing God and serving God. But Satan is trying to, is always in competition for you pursuing a knowledge of him. Because you think about that, if you make conformable to the death of Christ, you will experience a resurrection. And if you're saved, are you thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? There would not be any need to assemble today were it not for the resurrection. Wouldn't it be need to pray? Wouldn't it be need to have the Bible? In fact, it would be no hope, period, if it were not for the resurrection. So why not be the hope? Be the hope. There's people in your neighborhood. There's people in what you work with. There's people across the street from you that God has called you as a light to be the hope. But you'll never be that hope until you're made conformable unto his death. So let's let it start today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for these precious people. And though the time is a little bit shorter than normally is, Father, I trust that through the word of God and the Holy Spirit, you've begun the work that you needed to begin so that each of us can become the servants that you would have us to be. And Lord, I'd ask you, Father, that Christ could be so lifted up in our eyes that we would trust him completely. Lord, you know the heart of every person that came here today. You know the strengths, you know the weaknesses, and you know, God forbid, even the sins that we may be involved in. But Father, I pray that they could understand that through the power of the resurrection of Christ, they can be free from all sin. And I pray there would be a heart today that would want to turn from themselves and completely yield themselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that have never met him, and those who do not know him, I pray that there be something on the inside that would cause them to want to give everything and to experience the power of the resurrection. Lord, I pray you'll use your Holy Spirit this week as for those that we prepare for what we're going to study next, that they would begin to pursue you, Father, and they would begin to examine their life in light of being made conformable unto the death of Christ. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that I thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you so willingly gave up so much for us. And I thank you for the privilege that you've allowed us